So again, if you'll turn to Psalm 42, if you've got it, then we're just going to go through that. I love this psalm. As Matt would say, this is one of my favourite parts of Scripture. It's tradition, Matt. It's okay. But I love it. And I love it because it's about being real. It's about being real. And it allows us, for me, it allows us to be real with God and not to pretend. You know, we often come to church, don't we? And people say to us, "How are you?" And usually the answer is, "I'm fine." Or, "I'm okay." "I'm fine, how are you?" is often the response that you'll give. But sometimes we're not, are we? If we're completely honest, we're good at sort of wearing a mask. But we're not. And if someone asked the question to the person that wrote this psalm, you know, "How are you?" he would have said, "I'm really awful, actually. Really down in the dumps. Really depressed. Nothing's going right. I don't know what to do." And that's okay. And I think that's what this psalm kind of teaches us. And hopefully as we go through it, there's some things that we can learn and look at about how the person who wrote this psalm got into that place. But also, what can we do to get ourselves back on track? It's kind of a lament that it says at the very front of this psalm, for the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah were kind of the temple musicians, those that were part of the worship group, if you like, that led the worship and the music. And here was this person, and clearly he wasn't in a good place. Some people think it was David, others it might not be, but it doesn't matter what it is. It's a person who, you know, it's a real lament of perhaps this temple singer who's been exiled in the north, near the place where the Jordan starts, and who longs to be back in the house of God, longs to be back in that place of faith where he was and hope in God, but is a long way from that, probably physically away from the place of worship, but also spiritually away from that place. And as we go through it, we can see there's like almost three distinct areas. The Psalms are kind of written in stanzas, and there's three areas. And the first area we can see is like he was really dry. So, and I guess we can recognise that in ourselves. Sometimes we get really dry in terms of our relationship with God. Just a little aside, Sue, my wife, is really keen on drinking water. That's if you go to the doctor and you see Sue sometimes, the kids say to her, "You've only got two cures. One is more sleep, and drink more." That's her advice. So if you're not feeling very well, that's the advice you can have. Get more sleep and drink more water. Pretty much cures everything. Sarah, my oldest daughter, was driving back from Cardiff on Thursday in our old banger. It's an old Corsa. It's about 20 years old. And it broke down on the way home. Her radiator overheated. She'd forgotten to top it up and look at it, and it all went pear-shaped. So steam was coming out, everything's happening. So she called us up, it's really quite late at night, just as we were going to bed, and said, "Broken down, floods of tears, what am I going to do?" Anyway, so we said, "You know, have you got any water in the car?" We sort of managed to diagnose it, that's what had gone on. So I said, "Tip all the water that you've got in the car into the radiator." So sort of talked her through where the radiator was and how to do that. So she found a big lot of water, and then there was another bottle of water. I said, "Just put it all in and then see how it goes." And she drove off again, and there was a big leak in the radiator hose, and all the water came out, and she didn't get very far. But she got to a place of safety, and she was able to call the green flag or whatever it was, and it was great. And my wife said to me, I wouldn't have told her to pour that last lot of water in. She's thirsty. She might get thirsty. It's like, she's not in a desert. She's not going to die. Anyway, Sarah's like, "Really?" I'm really thirsty. She rings us up again. "I'm really thirsty." So this is all a bit of an aside, but anyway, it's quite interesting, isn't it? She was coming back from uni, and she had some of her food from her kitchen in. She had a cucumber. So she ate a cucumber, a whole cucumber. Because cucumbers are pretty juicy, aren't they? So if you're thirsty... Anyway, so that's kind of an illustration of how if you're really thirsty, just like this deer is panting for the streams of water, then you really go for something. And this is what the psalmist was feeling. He was feeling really dry. He said, my soul thirsts for God. Soul thirsts for God. Because he was desperate for God. It's a long way, isn't it, from David in Psalm 23 when he you know, led by the still, quiet waters. Or Psalm 36, where he talks about rivers of delight. Here, he's not in that place where he's by the quiet waters. He's not in that place where there's gushing waters of delight and fresh and springness. He's in a dry, arid place. And sometimes, if we're honest, we get into that place, don't we? We feel like that. And what I want to say is that that's okay. You know, William Cowper, he wrote in a book called Oh for a Closer Walk with God. He said this: where is the blessedness I knew when I first saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? It had gone away from him. And sometimes it goes away from us. And we should never imagine when we feel this way that it can only be our fault or the result of sin. I mean, sometimes it might be. Sometimes we might have strayed off, but not always. You know, some people think that you can't feel like this. You can't be dry and depressed if you're a Christian, because real Christians don't get depressed. That's not true, is it? We've all been there. And yet there's something, there's the little devil sits on your shoulder and says, well, if you feel like that, you know, you can't be a Christian. Not true. You know, there's all sorts of causes for depression. It might be a physical cause or an emotional or psychological. Something's happened. It might not be spiritual at all. But the thing is, you know, that it can happen. And we can get dry. And you can see here how he feels when he looks out. He says in verse 2, when can I go and meet with God? It's almost like there's been a long period where he's been away from God. There's a cry, a heartfelt cry there, isn't there? When? So it's not like, it doesn't seem to me that like it's just a momentary time. He's really crying out for God. He's got thirsty. And the bleakness is revealed almost in the taunts of his enemies, where they say to him all day long, where is your God? He can't see God. He's so far away. He looks out and he can't see. All he hears is these taunts. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we get into that place where it's really dry for us. And that's what it's kind of go through in these first verses 1 to 5. It's all about that dryness of spirit that he had. The second bit is between verses 6 and 11. We'll go back to these verses because there's some learning to come. But verses 6 to 11, I've kind of entitled, not dry, but drowning. And that's another time when we can get depressed, isn't it? When we just like feel completely overwhelmed. Here the poet's thoughts are set in turmoil by the alien scene that he is, where he is, where the River Jordan, not far from its sources, on the Mount of Hermon, it says here in verse 6. And, you know, the river, we can picture the river rushing along the borders and great falls coming down, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. And it just reminds him that what it says here, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Have you ever felt like that? Or do you feel like that now? Where you just feel like everything has come upon you, wave after wave after wave, crashing over you. Remember going swimming as a child, we used to go down to Cornwall, go to a beach called Polzeath. Fantastic, beautiful. I see people nodding. That's you've been there. We used to go every year when I was a kid, and it was lovely, wonderful. But the waves, a lot of surfing goes on, and they came in. And I used to go out, and sometimes you'd get taken off your feet, and like you're almost like in a tumble dryer of waves going over and over. And as you tried to stand up, another one would come and crash over. And this is what this guy is experiencing. He's feeling like that in real life. He feels like there's too much problems, too many problems coming and crashing over him. It's the same, these verses here are used by Jonah when Jonah was out in that boat and got thrown over the side into the storm, the terrible storm. In Jonah chapter 2, he prays this. He says this, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. And it's the same thing, isn't it? He's feeling like everything is crashing over him. And that happens. You feel overwhelmed, feel like you're drowning, feel like there's nowhere you can turn, there's no rescue coming. Submerged. But there is way out. We'll come back to that. The third bit, the third area, is probably in Psalm 43. And I've just entitled this bit, feeling really kind of disheartened. So that the psalmist is dry, he feels far from God, he's not spiritually in the right place, he's thirsting after God, he can't see it. He's feeling like he's drowning, the waves and the breakers, everything's crashing over, he can't cope. And he feels really disheartened. Feels really disheartened. The prayer that he prays in Psalm 43 is much like the prayers that David prays for justice in his Psalms. His enemies are oppressing him. It says, why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? He feels really disheartened, doesn't he? Why have you rejected me? You are my God. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? He feels completely disheartened. His enemies are after him, poking fun at him, and he feels like even God has rejected him. He's not in a good place. He feels dry. He feels he's drowning. He feels completely disheartened. But weaved into this psalm is some help for us when we get to that place. And that's what I want us to turn to now. And the first thing probably to say is actually to be open about how you feel. Be open. Acknowledge it. The psalmist brings his depression, if you like, out into the open in every one of those stanzas that we've been through. It starts off by saying, you know, I'm in this bad place. Even if you look in verse 10, as you go through, it's clear as you go through, it's coming out. Verse 10, even he says, my bones suffer mortal agony. You know that feeling when you just sort of ache and you don't want to do anything because you feel so downcast. And he's open about it. He speaks about it. He talks to God about it. He acknowledges it. He shares it. And that's what we should do. We shouldn't hide it. We shouldn't try and think, well, it shouldn't happen to me. It can happen to all of us. Be open. And the opening verses of the, as you go through, there's a refrain, isn't there? So if we look in verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? He's acknowledging that it's the case. The same in verse 11, the same verses come back. Why are you downcast? Why so disturbed? And again, finally in 43, verse 5, the same thing. Why are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? The psalmist is acknowledging it. He's being open with himself. He's being open with God. But being open is probably not enough. There's something else that he does. He kind of tries to remind himself of who God is and what God has done. In other words, he starts to think clearly. So be clear thinking. One of the commentaries I was reading, he put it like this. Uninhibited speaking, in other words, speaking the truth about how he felt, uninhibited speaking is followed by clear thinking. Clear thinking. He goes back and looks at what has God done for him in the past and tried to get through that sort of place. So if we look at the first part of the psalm, 1 to 5 again, the question that is asked is where is your God? And when the question is asked, it's kind of, he goes back to remembering. These are the things I remember. How I used to go up with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. The answer to where is your God? Well, he's present amongst the gathered people. You know, when we come together like this, God is present amongst us, isn't he? And he's also active today, just as he was in the great days, as the psalmist says, when we used to be celebrating, what we were commemorating there. God is active today, so he's reminding himself of what God is. But also when we're in that place, it's good to come back to church. You know, the writer of the Hebrews says, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Sometimes when we feel down, the last thing we want to do is come to church or join with others. But actually, that's really helpful to come back into the body. Just speaking with someone at church this morning, they said, I don't know why I'm here. I don't feel like being here. And I said, well, it's great that you are. This is where, you know, God can meet with you here. Just encourage you to stay. So that, you know, sometimes we don't feel like going to church. We feel so down. But here, saying, you know, come back to the body. That's where God is. Let's start thinking clearly about where God is. And in the second kind of stanza, he moves from thinking about God's dealings with his people, in other words, in this multitude, to actually how God has dealt with him as an individual. So if we look, for example, in the midst of that, where he says in verse 7 about all the waves and breakers sweeping over me, verse 8, he says this: by day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He remembers that God is with him personally, recalls that day and night. God is with him. So just as in the first verses, it talks about, you know, his tears, you know, he's crying out, my tears have been my food day and night. Here he's saying, look, you know, I know that in the past, God has been with me. At night, his song is with me. Day and night, he's with me here. Same. The Lord, he starts to have that clear thinking. In the old days, the Lord's care was with me in this day and night experience. And God is constant. He won't have changed. So look back to times when you can remember when God was with you. And then apply the Bible, which says God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He's not going to change. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you go. Remember back. And in the third stanza, element of clear thinking again, in verse 3, he says this: send forth your light and truth and let them guide me. He's speaking, you know, words that will really encourage him. He's reminding himself of the light of God that shines into darkness and the truth of God which guides us in the right way. And that light and that truth can guide him and can guide us out of the situation that we find ourselves in that place of dryness, in that place of feeling drowned, in that place of feeling completely disheartened. And the third thing, and the final thing, just really briefly, I want to say there's so much in this, we could go on forever, but I promised Kate that we'd finish not too long. So the third and final thing is to be positive. Be positive. And that's the bit where, in that refrain that goes through the psalm, he addresses his soul time and time again. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Verse 5, this is. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. A 17th century commentator, John Trapp, said this. He was thinking that he was saying that David had written this psalm. He said, David chideth David out of the dumps. David chideth David, in other words, chided himself out of the dumps. He's telling himself, look, don't be so disturbed. Don't be so downcast. Put your hope in God. It's kind of an element of like of speaking out the truth, isn't it? Now, we're never completely helpless victims of our emotions. We don't have to let our feelings dictate to us. We can actually take control and dictate to them. So I'm reminded of one of the things I used to do was to tow a caravan. And actually, when you're driving a caravan, sometimes it doesn't quite go where you think it's going to go. You've tried that, have you? Especially if you're reversing, it doesn't. But but actually, you have to like be very deliberate about where you steer. And you look behind you and it's not quite following you. But actually, after a while, if you stick on that path, it will come after you. It will come after you. So sometimes, like when you're playing with a train set or something with the kids, you know, it goes around a bend. Actually, the whole carriages are way out of line. But actually, if you stick to that bit and you get the front end moving right, the back end comes in line eventually. And that's what this is saying. You know, put yourself, come on, talk to yourself. Say, put your hope in God. He's not going to let you down. Let's. I don't feel like this, but let's bring a sacrifice of praise. Let's state again the truth of who God is. And it doesn't matter that I don't feel that at the minute, that I feel in this place of being disheartened and drowning. But actually, this is the truth. Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him. Even when you don't want to. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like going to church. Get that CD. Put it on. Praise God. Start praising God. And as you do that, the feelings will start to come back in line. As God meets with you in the very depth of your soul, you can see there's a kind of, as you go through this this psalm, you know, he starts off feeling, you know, he is really depressed, as you can really see. And as each time he comes through, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Three times he says that. Yet by the end of into Psalm 43, it starts to get a lot more positive. Vindicate me, O my God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful men. You are my God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. In other words, bring them where I can worship you, where I can be in your presence. Then will I go to the altar, to my God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, oh my God. Can you sense, you know, he's changed. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And I can see that last time he's saying that, he's saying it in a different way. Because throughout the travelling of that psalm, he's found himself in a different place. Whilst the outward signs might not have changed, outwardly, all the things that are going on around him might not have changed. But inwardly, he's in a better place because he's done those things. He's been open to God. He's been clear thinking and remembering what God has done for him in the past. And he's been really positive about saying, you know, almost intentional about saying, soul, come on, put yourself in line and then everything else will come through. And he's changed the way that he feels inside out. Let's just take that as a lesson to learn for ourselves. You know, it's not wrong to be in a bad place in depression and it's not easy to get out of it. But God is there to help us and support us in it. And the outward conditions might not change, but God can change us from the inside out as we take hold of him. Let's just pray. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for others that we know that might be in that place. I'm just going to just have some silence where you can get yourself in that place with God. Maybe for yourself you want to just be open with him about how you're feeling. Maybe you want to try and remember times when you really felt close to God. Maybe you want to intentionally tell your soul, come on soul, get yourself in the right place. Or maybe there's others that you know of that are really in a tough time. And pray for them that God would reach out. Just going to pause now and be quiet.